Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Let's turn to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For all of you are made sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. All those who have been baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. In him there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free man, neither male nor female, for all of you in Christ Jesus are made one with God. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs of all that is promised. Now, all of us here this morning will be familiar with the fact that we are sons of God. Every now and again, we need to visit this truth afresh so that we actually understand what it means to be a son of God and to live as a son of God. This is the revelation that God gave me in 1970 that transformed my ministry and actually led to the revival that took place subsequently. So, as far as I'm concerned, it's a key revelation. I'm a son of God. Now, first of all, this speaks to us of relationship. Each of us got to take this personally. So if I'm a son of God, that speaks of a unique relationship that I have with God. There may be many, many sons of God, but none of them has my relationship with God. And I don't have their relationship with God. That each one of us has been personally and uniquely adopted by God to be his son. Even you ladies are sons because the sons have first right of inheritance. You can think of yourselves as daughters if you like, as long as you know you're sons. Now, this obviously speaks, therefore, of relationship with the Father. You can only be a son if you have a father. So Jesus is described as the one and only Son because he was the only one who was born as Son of God. We were adopted as his sons. We were born with a natural birth, but when we had our second birth, when we were born again, our supernatural birth, then we were adopted into God's family. So before that adoption, we were not part of his family. We were part of his creation, but not part of his family. So you have your unique relationship with God. He, therefore, looks upon you as a father looks upon his children. He owns you. I have a son. He's not here because he's off ministering today. But he is my son and always will be my son. And for the rest of his days, even when I'm gone to glory, he will still be my son. And this is true of your relationship with God because he has adopted you. You are his son, his child. And you always will be. You might be an obedient child, you might be a disobedient child. You might be a good child or a naughty child, but you're still his child. You're still his son. And therefore, this brings us into relationship not only with God the Father, but also with his Son Jesus Christ. He is not ashamed to call us brothers, it says in chapter 2 of Hebrews. We are co-heirs with Christ. The Father has the right to share the inheritance of what he has with who he wills. And so he has chosen you to share the inheritance that is given to Christ with you. Now, this gives you a very privileged position with God right now. Not just in the future, but now. When you read the book of Revelation, you read that Jesus is the Lamb of God who is in the midst of the throne. Has that ever perplexed you? How can Jesus be in the midst of the throne? Well, we read, and this fulfills the prophecy in Isaiah, that God says, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. So it isn't that you have to imagine Jesus in the middle of a chair, but he is in the middle of heaven. All heaven is focused around him. Heaven is my throne. And so because he's made us citizens of his kingdom, we have our place in heaven around the throne. God sees us in heavenly places already because of that inheritance that we have. Now, you remember one of the things that Jesus said to his opponents was that unlike them, he knew where he had come from and he knew where he was going. Now, that's another way of saying, I know where I belong. So it's important for us to know where I belong. If I belong to the Father, if I'm a co-heir with Christ, if I'm seated with him in the midst of heaven, are we hearing? That is the position that God has given me by his mercy and grace. I am to know that is where I belong now. Not where I will belong in the future, but that is where I belong now. And Jesus has gone before to prepare a place for me and a place for you, that we will inherit that place that he has prepared. It's ours. It's where we belong. It's where we're going. You say, when Jesus says, well, I know where I've come from, I know where I'm going, he was talking about the same place. I've come from heaven, I'm going to heaven. I've come from the Father, I'm returning to the Father. And we can say, well, I know where I've come from, my inheritance, my new life, the anointing of God's Spirit, the gift of his kingdom has come from heaven. And I am going to that appointed place that God has for me because of the wonder of his love, his mercy, and his grace. Whatever happens to me here is just part of that overall purpose that God has, that I will enter into the inheritance that he has prepared for me. So I am to see myself one with Christ in the midst of heaven, in the midst of the throne. Therefore, as the writer to Hebrews says, I have access to the throne of God, to the very center, the very heart of heaven. And that that throne is the throne of God's glory. So I belong to the glory. I was a sinner who had fallen short of the glory, but by the mercy and grace of God, I have been forgiven. And now I am one with him in his glory. And he says, he has given me the same glory that the Father gave him. So that is where I belong. That is where I have access when I worship, when I pray, to the throne of glory. That is also the throne of mercy and of grace. It's the throne where the scripture says, I will find mercy and grace to help me in my time of need. So as a son of God, I have access to the throne. I don't worship at a distance. I don't worship or pray at a distance. My feet might be here in Rafi when I worship, but my heart is in heavenly places. I am worshiping in the place where I belong. I'm not earthbound in my worship and in my prayer. I don't have to ask the Lord to come down because he has raised me up. All this sort of prayer about, Lord, come down. I mean, he's already come, hasn't he? He lives within you, and he lives within you to raise you up. Don't let's deny what he has done by just sort of praying in traditional kind of ways. So here is this amazing truth. It's just as true for you as it is for me, but we've each got to make it personal. By the wonder of his love, his mercy, and his grace, this is what God has made me, a son of God. Now, Paul says that this is simply through my faith in Christ Jesus. I'm a son of God by faith. I couldn't make myself a son. There was nothing I could do to persuade God that I should be a son. I simply put my faith in what he had done. So somehow or other, God brought to me the revelation that I needed. Somehow or other, he brought to you the revelation that you needed so that you could put your faith in Jesus Christ and become his son, his child. A co-heir with Christ, a brother of Christ, a son of your heavenly Father. Now, if I became a son by faith, the only way for me to live as a son is by faith. That as I continue to put my faith in Jesus, I will continue to live as a son. Now, Jesus has gone before me and gone before you in this, because when he lived here on earth, he lived as the man of faith. What does the scripture say about living by faith? Well, the person who lives by faith, who knows the rest of faith, is someone who rests from his own labors, from his own works. So Jesus says he didn't come to do his works, but the works of the Father who sent him. So therefore, as we live by faith, we do not live by our own works. We do not do things to try to impress God. We allow him to do his work in us and his works through us. Therefore, Paul says, when he's writing to the Romans, that those who are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit is the one who inspires us to live by faith. He is the one who will lead us step by step so that in every situation and circumstance that we find ourselves, we will put our trust in Jesus and not ourselves. And so we find that this releases us every day into the supernatural. That we are accomplishing and achieving that which we could never do in the natural. And that is true for us every day because we're living as sons of God. So today you should expect to do what you could not do in the natural. That God doesn't even want you to address the things that you have to do in the natural, but in the spirit. So your dependence is upon the Spirit to enable you, even as you're listening to me now, not to be listening with your natural mind, but to believe that God will witness faith by the Holy Spirit doing something supernatural in your spirit. So even when you're listening to a message, you're engaging with God. You're not just listening to a preacher or a speaker. Your expectation, therefore, is that you're going to hear from God. If he can speak through a donkey, he can speak through a preacher. He even prophesied through Caiaphas that it was right for one man to die for all the people. Caiaphas didn't understand the implications of what he was saying. But then that's often the case. You can hear God speak even through non-believers because God can speak to you through them if he chooses to do that without the person even being aware that at that moment God is using him or her. God isn't limited to working through those who have faith, but of course he will work through those who have faith. But God is almighty. He can do anything with anybody. So, we are all sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And that gives us all, in this sense, an equal status with God. We will have a variety of calls, and those calls give us different degrees of authority according to the nature of the call, but we all have the same status. So whether you're an apostle, whether you're an administrator, a helper, an evangelist, or whatever, you have the same status of a child of God, of a son of God, the same inheritance. Co-heir with Christ. Now, this is basic faith doctrine. The sad thing is that only a very small proportion of Christians really live as sons of God. Even if they've read it, and therefore somewhere in their minds they know it, we should demonstrate by the way we live that we are sons of God. Therefore, we are touching the supernatural, and the supernatural is being expressed through us, not just in signs and wonders, but in enabling us to do what cannot be accomplished in the natural. So, we are never daunted by circumstances. We don't have to look at the situation and say, oh, what on earth can I do now? This is seemingly hopeless. Because the one who is in you, the Holy Spirit who leads you, is greater than those circumstances. And because you are a son of God, the Father is ordering your life. Now, I was telling the second year students yesterday morning, there's a great truth for us to understand about the working of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says that he does not speak of himself, from himself. In other words, this Holy Spirit who is to lead you as a son of God never decides what to say to you. Jesus says he speaks only what he hears. Now, where is he getting his information, his revelation? Where is he receiving that what he needs to say to you? Well, obviously, he's receiving it from heaven. So even if you are not in touch with heaven, the Spirit within you is. He's receiving from the Father and the Son what he needs to say to you in the Spirit. Now listen very carefully. When you read the scripture, it is clear that even before the creation of the world, God planned your life. Not just planned that you should be a child of God, but even before the creation of the world, he determined your call and his plan for your life. God's plans never change. The scripture says that he has ordered the number of your days. Even before you were born, he would know exactly how many days you would live on earth. He knew the nature of the calling that he would give you. He knew, of course, how faithful and obedient you would be, or how unfaithful and disobedient you would be, and all that is taken into account of the way in which he ordered your life. Being eternal, he can see the end from the beginning, so he could see all this. And he determined his call and his purpose for you, and that will never change. There's nothing you can do to get God to change his purpose for your life. You can step outside his purpose, and then everything is going to go haywire until you step back into his purpose. But he will never change that purpose. You will never persuade him to change that purpose, because he ordered it even before the creation of the world. Now, what is the role of the Holy Spirit? What is he going to tell you to do? He is listening to the Father and the Son in order to tell you what is the next step to make for the fulfillment of that purpose that God ordained for you even before the creation of the world. So the Holy Spirit is listening to the Father and the Son so that he knows the next thing to tell you in order to fulfill that plan and purpose, that unchanging purpose that God has for your life. If you try to make of yourself something that God hasn't planned, it will never work out. You can have all kinds of ideas about the way you would like God to use you, but if it's not what God has called and planned for your life, then you will only experience frustration. And whether you like it or not, actually you will end up doing what God wants you to do if you are really submitted to Him. Some of you may not have wanted to come to Rafi, but here you are, and now you're grateful that God got you here. And you think to yourself, it would have been worth twice the money. Do I hear an amen to that? Oh, in that case... But some things can't be bought. And that includes the purpose of God. And what He has been doing is unfolding His purpose to you. You are just coming into a greater and greater understanding of God's purpose. Now, good thing about, you see, knowing where you've come from, understanding about the purposes of God, is that it doesn't matter who does what to you, they cannot alter God's purpose for you. The enemy might attack you in all kinds of ways to try to hinder that purpose, but he will not succeed. Because God has given you the authority over him, not just so that you can cast out a few demons, but to ensure the fulfillment of the plan and purpose that he has for your life. You see, the thing that we have to struggle with our understanding is how, to the rational mindset, predestination and free will don't go together, but they do in the New Testament. They do in God's purpose. That he has his preordained, predestined plan for our lives, and yet the outworking of that is dependent upon the use of our free will. It doesn't make sense logically, but it does spiritually. But then nobody understands God. His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts, and his ways greater than our ways. So really what we understand of the way God works is fractional. Nobody understands him like Jesus understood him, for example. So we are blessed because we are a people of purpose. We're not churchgoers who are just sort of seeking to have as good a lifestyle as possible, but we are led by the purpose of God. And we therefore have a passion to see his purposes in our lives fulfilled. Come what may. No matter what obstacles, no matter what difficulties, no matter what problems. Jesus said, you'll have just the same kind of problems as I had. They'll treat you like they treated me. And that's not just the world, but even those within the body. Because look how many problems Jesus had with those who purported to be believers. Hello? So, we have this absolute security that what the Holy Spirit is going to do is to lead us into the fulfillment of the plan and purpose that God has for us. The plan that will never change, the purpose that he doesn't have to alter, because in his perfect wisdom and foreknowledge, he knew exactly what that purpose for your life should be. It's a purpose that can only be fulfilled in the power of the Holy Spirit. So as a son of God, you're led by the Spirit of God into the fulfillment of everything that God has for you. So how can that best be worked out? Only by being in a true, wholehearted heart submission to the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is not the one who speaks to you in your prayer time so that you hear what you want to hear. Hello? Easiest thing in the world is to have a prayer time where you hear what you want to hear, but that is not necessarily the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't tell you what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. And often those are not the same things. The Holy Spirit will therefore be constantly challenging you to go beyond where you are at present in the way in which you relate to God. He will challenge you to go beyond your comfort zones. Because in planning His purpose for your life, God did not plan a comfortable life. You see, He said, if anyone would follow me, he must deny himself. That means it's going to be uncomfortable to follow Jesus. It's going to be challenging to follow Jesus. It means day by day I'm going to have to take up a cross. Not his cross, but my cross. And what does the cross signify? Sacrifice. So day by day it's going to demand sacrifice of me. Not comfort. But it means I'm going to be challenged not to do what I want to do, but to do what He wants to do, because the Holy Spirit is leading me into the fulfillment of His plan. Now, what He teaches is that in allowing the Holy Spirit to do that, He brings you to the place of fulfillment. That the only way in which we have peace with God and joy, true joy in our hearts before Him, is because we're fulfilling His purpose, and therefore we have followed obediently the way the Spirit is leading us. So the Spirit will lead us to do what we were hearing about on Sunday again, to do that which will glorify the Lord, be for the good of His kingdom and the welfare of His people. And therefore, ultimately, for our own welfare. Because even if sometimes it's costly, it will be fulfilling. It fulfills us because we fulfill the Father's purpose. So when your will is in line with His will, that's peace. When your walk is in line with the way He's leading you to walk, that is fulfillment. And actually, there, at that point, you don't mind what it costs because you know it was worth it in order to be faithful before God, in order to fulfill the plan and purpose that He has for you. And so Jesus says, and Paul likewise, following after his master, makes it clear that the important thing is to finish the work. Because God's purpose for you is to finish His purpose and not to give up along the way. There are many temptations to do that. And many believers fall foul of those temptations. They do not persevere, they do not keep going, they opt out of a situation because it's more comfortable for them to do so. But God has not called us to opt out. When we gave our lives to Jesus, we opted in. And we stay in. Until we come to the fulfillment of everything that God has planned. When will that time of fulfillment be? On your deathbed. Because you cannot retire from the purposes of God. as I've discovered from experience, you will keep going till your last breath. Because to your last breath, you're a son of God. And then even beyond, you have your heavenly inheritance as a son. So there's no giving up. We're a persevering people. And when it's costly, so what? It's only costly to the flesh. It's not costly to the spirit, because the spirit enables us to overcome the flesh. And so what Paul says is the spirit and the flesh are utterly opposed to one another. And Jesus says, in your flesh, in your self-life, there is nothing good. Why? Because God's purpose cannot be fulfilled through your flesh life. In other words, God's purpose cannot be fulfilled through doing what you want in the natural. Only when your will is submitted to His will, so that His will becomes your will, can His purpose be fulfilled through your will. It was anointed, so it's right. Just think it, work it out. So you don't opt out because you've opted in. And you're going to remain faithful to the end of your days. So, can God change and reorder and redirect our lives? Only if that was part of His purpose. What about people that seem to opt out of His best plan? Well, that hasn't surprised God. But where are they in the purposes of God? What is the nature of God's call on their life? You see, God does not raise people up in significant places of leadership if they're those who opt out. Hello? And the thing about God is, you see, even before our Christian experience, He knew what we would be like as Christians. Now, He knows that nobody that He calls and chooses is going to be perfect. He is aware of that. And if you know, when Christians mess up, they have not surprised God. But the thing you need to remember is that even when you feel that you have failed in some way, that will not change God's call on your life. He doesn't say, whoops, what a mess, I better change the call on your life. No, what He does, you see, is restores people back to His call on their life. Amen? Which is why Paul says that even if you see a brother that gets into some serious sin, seek to restore him, because that's what God wants. He doesn't want you to judge him or condemn him. God wants you to seek to restore him, because God wants to restore him to His will and purpose. Why? Because God is not going to change His purpose. Now, in determining His purpose for your life, where do you think God pitched things? Being God, I think the only way that He would pitch it is for the best. Now, in the parable of the talents, it says that The master gave to each of the servants according to his capacity. So God knows the capacity of each of us. It is possible to hear God through your wife. Certain people in the scripture made mistakes by listening to their wife, but it is possible to hear God through your wife. I won't go beyond Adam and Abraham and so on, but and one of the things that my wife, she doesn't have to do it so much these days, but at times had to remind me, is, Colin, not everybody has your capacity. Don't expect of everybody else what you expect of yourself. Now, there's a couple of important lessons there. That we have to acknowledge that God has given to each of us according to what He knows our capacity will be. Not what it is now, but what it will be, potentially in the future. But also, therefore, we should not be jealous of other people's capacity or judgmental of their capacity. But to recognize there are a whole variety of calls and ministries, therefore, but the same Spirit. Now, what God wants to do is to draw the maximum out of each of us. Now, according to those parables, you see, how do you do that? By using what He's given you. Not by waiting for something to happen or waiting for some great, wonderful revelation or something, saying, well, I'm not ready yet. Nobody's ever ready. But the Holy Spirit takes us even before we're ready, because it's only in the doing that you become ready. It's not whether you feel ready or not. You start to do it and you feel that you're in over your head very often. But that's okay, because then you have to trust God. And He says, well, that's exactly what I intended. I didn't, you know, sometimes He throws us in the deep end. And you fear that you won't swim, but then He enables you to swim. And even possibly to walk on the water, but we won't go into that one this morning. But you see, He knows the capacity. Why? Because He has determined what the nature of our call is according to that capacity that He's given us. Amen? So God wants to see what He has gifted you with being as fully developed as possible, so that you bear fruit in the way that He has chosen for you. Nothing is more agonizing to see somebody trying to be what God hasn't called them to be. A pastor who actually doesn't have a call and an anointing to be a pastor. Or a prophet that is not anointed and therefore is prophesying all kinds of stupidity in the presence of God's people. God anoints us for the call. Now, the call is to live as a son, but to be fulfilling the particular ministry that He has according to the capacity that each one of us has been given. You know, one of my things that I like is classical music. Now, if I'm watching a concert, whether it's on television or whether I'm live at a concert, often there is a soloist playing concerto, piano, violin, or something. Now, if you take, for example, somebody playing a violin concerto, it seems extraordinary to me that anybody should get such a sound out of a piece of wood and a few strings. But It's amazing. But behind that soloist is a professional orchestra. And you know that to be in that orchestra, the level of musicianship in every one of those people is exceedingly high. Some of them would be soloists with their instruments at other times, you know. So they are all able musicians. But being in that situation, they're not the soloists. And perhaps they don't have that special something extra to make them just a full-time soloist and not someone who occasionally does it. Because they're a horn player or something like that. And you see, this is where God wants us to know our call. He wants us to be fulfilling that call. He wants us like being like those people in an orchestra, just blending together with everybody else. Because in an orchestra, not everybody is a fiddle player. Not everybody is a cellist. Not everybody is in the woodwind or the brass. Everyone is fulfilling his function for the benefit of the whole. Not everyone is trying to be a soloist. Otherwise, there would not be harmony and a melodic kind of sound. And to me, it's always a very good visual demonstration of what the body of Christ, everyone is equipped. In the orchestra, everyone is a fine musician. Every one of you is equipped. Every one of you will be absolutely fine in fulfilling what God has planned and purposed for your life. And His call on your life will enable you to blend in with His call on the lives of others around you, so that everything is working together in unity for the common good. Which is God's vision for His church. God will never want you to take over and start conducting, because He's the conductor of the orchestra. It's when churches get into trouble, when people want to try to conduct it. Now leave the Holy Spirit to do the conducting. We just play the instruments. So, what is God saying through this message to where we are at present in the outworking of God's purpose? Well, you are who you are. You know where you've come from. You're a citizen of heaven, of His heavenly kingdom. You are totally accepted, loved, anointed of God. He has His plan and purpose for your life, which will never change. He will never have to reduce it, never alter the course of it. And you have the Holy Spirit living in you to lead you step by step into the fulfillment of that plan. And His plan for you is to use you to the maximum. He wants to get the best out of you because He's put the best into you. He's invested in you. And now He's seeking a return on His investment. And you're not a quitter. You're not going to give up. You're not going to say, Lord, it's too much. Reduce the level or the nature of my call. You're going to aspire for ever greater things. Because having proved faithful in little, God will put you in charge of much. Not because, you know, he thinks, I underestimated that one, but because he planned those greater things for you, and he has enabled by his Spirit that faithfulness to the lesser things to lift you into the greater things. So there's just one more thing we need to understand. God's purpose for your life is unique to you. But he only made his purpose for your life in conjunction with his purpose generally for the whole of creation. You slot in to his general purpose for his body, for the world, even for the whole of creation. So, you have a responsibility to God, obviously, to fulfill his call on your life, but also you have a responsibility to those around you to fulfill the call. Because, like the players of an orchestra, if you're off key, it's going to affect the whole orchestra. If you stop playing, the sound will not be the same. Hello? So God only has this one plan of which he makes each of us a part. And it's for the fulfillment of his kingdom purposes, preparing for the return of Jesus. It's part of that great plan that he has. It's for that plan that he has made you a part. So your faithfulness to the Lord is actually preparing for the coming of Jesus again. It has a repercussion that is much greater than you personally. Your life touches other lives. Your life makes a difference to God's kingdom. That's why he called you. That's why he chose you. The wonder for me, ever since I came to know the Lord as a kid, the wonder for me is to be part of God's purpose. You can't help but say, why me, Lord? And the only answer is that, well, I chose you because I chose you. And you just are left with this amazing sense of privilege. I mean, I could just exist for so many years on this earth and die and not have contributed to the purpose of God. But by his love, by his grace and mercy, he chose me, he called me, he made me his son, he gave me an inheritance. He has gone before to prepare that place for me. He sees me in heavenly places. He has endowed me with the gift of his Spirit in order to enable the fulfillment of his plan and purpose for my life, that I will finish the work. And the same is true for you. So what is God wanting now? He's wanting that yieldedness to the Holy Spirit. That surrender to be led as a son of God by the Spirit of God. To be led by the Spirit into the fulfillment of the purposes of God. Not to make plans of our own, but to fulfill his plan for us. Because the Holy Spirit does not live in you to fulfill your own plan, but to fulfill that plan that God has. Nobody can steal your call. Nobody can take away your sonship. Nobody can change God's plan for your life. Nobody can remove the anointing of God's Spirit that He has chosen to put into your life. That is your security. You know where you've come from, and you know where you're going. And therefore you have confidence before God. And know that His Spirit will give you everything you need for the fulfillment of His purpose. That God will never leave you short in any way whatsoever for the fulfillment of His purpose. A purpose that can only be fulfilled in unity and in harmony with others in the body. You have the heart of a son. Love for the Father. Love for the Son. Love for the Holy Spirit. Love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Love for God's people. Love even for your enemies. Only God can engineer such a purpose. Wow. You remember what the angel said to Mary? You are favored one. That's what God is saying to you this morning. You are one of His favored ones. Come on, let's stand and give Him thanks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Porata parazata parisitopa. Come on, thank Him for His call on your life. Thank Him that He chose you before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. Hallelujah. Pura la basu turi satupa. Thank Him that you're in Christ, who is in the midst of the throne, in the very midst of heaven, ruling and reigning on high. That He's put His kingdom within you so that He will rule and reign in you and through you. Hallelujah. Thank Him that you did not choose Him, but He chose you and appointed you to go and bear much fruit. Thank Him that His grace is going to be working with you to bring you to the complete fulfillment of that which He has planned and purposed for you. Now that does mean the submission of your will to His will. Hallelujah. So why don't you this morning say, oh Holy Spirit, I submit myself 100% to be led by you, to be inspired, enabled, equipped by you. To be a man or woman of the Spirit. To face every situation with your supernatural life and power and perception, not just by looking at things in the natural. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Spirit. And I wholeheartedly submit to the leading of your Holy Spirit in my life, that I will not only be a son of God, I will live as a son of God, and I will complete the work that you have for me to do. And thank you that your Spirit will lead me step by step in the way you want me to go. How I praise you, Lord. How I bless you. How I exalt you. Come on, let's really hear it now. Horata parazato parasituri sato. Barata pariazato bakarasituri sato bakarasito. Hallelujah. Now thank the Lord that no one and nothing can throw you off course. No one can steal your inheritance. No one can take your call. Hallelujah. Purata parazata bakarazitoba. That God has made you an overcomer. He doesn't say it's always going to be easy. He says, because others will treat you like they treated him. But you are an overcomer, and overcomers will inherit the crown of life. Overcomers complete what they're called to do. Despite the difficulties, despite the opposition, despite the cost. So come on, give him glory. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We praise your holy name. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Now thank the Lord that the Holy Spirit will enable you to be faithful in small things, that God will then put you in charge of bigger things and bigger things, and that which He planned even before the creation of the world, you will certainly inherit. Even if at this moment in your life you feel you're at the beginning, but God knows that you will get to the end. Hallelujah. Oh, and He will raise you higher and higher and higher and higher in His purposes. Come on. Puparazata parazato bakarazito di satuba. Barata parazata bakarazito di santu. Oh, wonderful Jesus, wonderful Jesus. Pura la basoto di satari e l'eroba carasito di sanduma. Burra tapari azituba. Burra tapari azatuba carasito di satuba. Let's have the musicians. Pupara zatari e l'eroba carasituba. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, just thank the Lord that you are special. You are not ordinary, you're special. You can't be ordinary if you're called and chosen by God. He has made you someone who to God is special. To Him you are special. I mean, you're a child of God. You're a son of God. That's special. Oh, wow, wow, wow. I mean, there are billions of people that don't have that call, but you have that call. Come on, just thank the Lord. You've made me someone really special, Lord. Special to you, that's the important thing. I'm special to you. Puparazatuba kaya zatuba. Now thank Him that He did not call you to fail. Amen. And the Holy Spirit lives within you so you will not fail. That's why He's teaching you to depend upon Him so you are not going to fail. Even if sometimes you get things wrong. Even if at times you make mistakes. God will get you back on course so you will not fail to accomplish that for which He has called you. Come on, give Him the glory for that. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.